What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name. Jesus said, all power and all authority are in his name, and he's given us the privilege to use his name in prayer as we worship him. Well, this last one, older hymn, a Gaither hymn, what a day that will be. Good to see you all here today on our first Sunday of the new year, 2022. Wow. A chilly morning, but the sun is bright, and it's supposed to get to about 20 today, I believe, so that'll feel pretty good. So welcome and happy new year to all of you. We will be taking down the Christmas tree in the greens after church. The Christian Ed Committee and others that would want to help are certainly welcome. This Thursday, January 6th, is what we call Epiphany Day. So, and on that we celebrate the coming of the wise men, which is why we'll sing the opening hymn that we're going to sing. But I have some other announcements first before we get to that point. As you see, the Christmas Eve offering and the Christmas Day offering, those amounts are in there, and wow, just praise the Lord. What a blessing to these places, Swan Lake and Healing Hope Ministries, and then to our own care center here in Menno. So to God be the glory for that. The two fresh flower arrangements, this one right here to my left and the one over there to my right, those are given by Doug and Linda Hondel. These are in memory of Linda's mother, Marilyn Ripperda was her name. She passed away early this last week. Her funeral was on Friday, just over in, I believe it was in Larchwood, Iowa. So we want to thank them for sharing those with us, and our prayers are certainly with Doug and Linda and the family. Also, the poinsettias, thanks to all who've shared those in memory of loved ones. You can certainly take your plant home today if you desire to. You'll have to be sure to cover it up with a plastic bag as you go outside with it, so it makes it home and can last a while in your own house. The women's Bible study, we didn't get this all the details in the Salem Spire, but we have the details today. That will be a series by Dr. David Jeremiah that he has recently done called Where Do We Go From Here? Just speaking about the things in our nation and in our world. The ladies will start that this next Sunday in the Sunday school hour. That's in the far northwest room. There'll be the Wednesday morning group also. That will start the following Wednesday, the 12th of January. There are study guides to it, and if you are wanting to participate and wanting a study guide, then you really need to sign up today. We're sort of short on the time frame, so we have to get those ordered as soon as possible. And there is a sheet out in the narthex on the information table there. Lots of other announcements that I will let you read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful day it is again. We're so thankful for the first Sunday of our new year. We're so thankful for where we live right here in the Midwest in South Dakota. We are truly blessed to be here. And Lord, we enjoy the seasons, all four of them, as you have made them. So thank you for the beauty of your creation. And Father, on this first Sunday of the new year, we want, Lord God, to present our bodies before you as living sacrifices. We ask you to fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, prepare us to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. And we thank you for filling us to overflowing today and every day as we commit this year to you, Lord God, and the working of your Spirit in our lives individually, in our church as a congregation, as you move among us, as we work together and walk together led by the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, let us truly be led by your Spirit and not by the works of the flesh. For you are great and greatly to be praised. And so thank you for filling this place with your glory and your power today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. And so we will stand together as we sing 288, We Three Kings, 288. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and mountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, best a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again, king forever, ceasing never over us all to reign. Oh, star, star of night, star with royal beauty. myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb. So it was. That was a supernatural star, the Shekinah glory of God that led them all the way to Bethlehem. It wasn't a comet or anything like that. It was God. Take a moment, greet those, please, before you're seated. All right, good morning. We'll have our sharing of joys and concerns and a joy. There's several families that are probably having their Christmases today, so God bless you on that, and enjoy your day and safe travels home when that time comes. A couple things I have written down here. Johnny Whale has been having some tests on his heart recently, and he's going in for an angiogram on Tuesday and see what they find. So prayers for Johnny and Lori both. Also, just a congratulations to Les and Kathy Melhoff, their son Matt and his wife is Denise, had twins just recently, two little girls, and I didn't write the names because Evelyn and Emmeline, I'm not sure. So we congratulate them. And also on that note, just continued prayers for Les and Kathy. You know, they do live in Sioux Falls now. Les was moved into hospice care probably a month ago for sure, at least. He pretty much is bedfast in the hospital bed. But otherwise, he's got the same old great smile that he always has had. And Kathy does a wonderful job as his caregiver. Prayers for Dave Wallach. He's been doing his treatments up at Mayo Clinic. Supposed to be every week, but sometimes there's a break depending on the white blood cell count and things like that. So, okay, anything else over here? Did I see? No? Okay, over here. All right, Marie. Say that once more. Laura's birthday. Oh, Laura's birthday is Friday. She turns 4. Happy birthday, Laura. She turns 8. Yeah, I should know she's not 4, shouldn't I? Where did I get? I thought she said 4 or something. 8. Sorry, Laura. We don't want to put you back to 4, do we? Okay, there was another Callie. Macy's birthday is today, Macy Huber, and she is 3. All right. Happy birthday, Macy. Yeah, Deb Christensen. Okay. All right, yeah. This is Jim and Deb Christensen's grandson, Dylan. He has that sarcoma, right, on his arm. And they have a surgery day scheduled at Mayo Clinic on the 14th of February. Depending on how deep they have to go, if it's deep enough that it requires skin graft, then that surgery would happen on the 15th. So, yeah, prayers for the family, especially during the waiting time. We all know how difficult that in itself can be. Okay, all right. Okay, thanks, John. I know we heard the sirens and the trucks go by during Sunday school. Prayers for the firefighters, yeah, especially in this frigid cold. There's a house fire over in Scotland. So, yeah, sorry to hear that. Okay, all right, let's bow our heads, please. Lord, we do, and we did even in Sunday school class. We stopped and paused and prayed, and we do now here again during our worship service. We thank you for our firefighters and EMTs and the first responders, our policemen and women. And Lord, especially right now, the firefighters as they're over there at Scotland with their crew on this house fire, something we never want to hear or have happen ever, but especially when it's zero and it complicates things all the more. We lift them up to you. We ask for your help to them and through them, your protection upon them. Lord, for the family that was living in this house, we pray that they were able to get to safety, and we just ask that you watch over them and guide them in the days to come with what you know, Lord, all the details. We don't, but you do. Thank you for holding them close during this time. For Dylan Hofer, we pray for him with this upcoming surgery in February on his arm, Lord Jesus. Thank you for wisdom that you give to medical science, that it comes from you and you alone. And Lord, as they wait here this next month and a half, be with Dylan, his parents, his family, Jim and Deb, through this time. Lord, we just ask for your healing power, which is greater than all, to be at work in that situation throughout his body, that nothing would spread, that it would be contained, that this would be a very successful surgery. And we pray for good results there. And let your peace guard the hearts of the family during this time. For Johnny and Lori, we pray for them as they go up Tuesday for the angiogram to see what's going on there. Thank you for guiding the doctors in this situation and for your healing power as well that's at work within Johnny. In Jesus' name, we pray for Doug and Linda Hondel and ask for comfort to them and to their family at the homegoing of Linda's mom recently. For Les and Kathy and the twin grandbabies born to them, but we also pray for them during this time as Kathy is his caregiver. Thank you for the strength you give her every day. Thank you for the joy and peace you have put within Les, within his heart and mind through this time, Lord, and your presence in their home. We pray for Dave and Peg Wallach as he goes through his treatments. I pray for Darlene Gehring and ask for strength to her, Lord, day by day that you would increase her strength. For our troops, guard them, those at home and those abroad, as they serve so faithfully around our nation and our world. We thank you for each of them. We want to lift up the city, the community of Boulder, Colorado, and that fire that devastated those 1,000 homes out there this week, and all the rebuilding, and just be with them, Lord, as these things happen in our nation and in our world. Father, I pray that you draw hearts and minds to you. We know it is the God of this world, the devil, who blinds the minds of those who do not believe. But we also know, Father, that you are far greater than all of that. And you are able to break through the barriers that have been set up, the barriers of deception and lies and hurts and pains and whatever it might have been. You are greater than all. So we ask for healing. We ask for the outpouring of your Spirit across this nation, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 says, "Look, he is coming, Jesus, with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen." Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty." Amen. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer today in place of the doxology. The offering box is in the back, as I think you know. So let's stand and we'll sing this together, please. Our Father, which art in heaven, Heavenly Father, we worship you. We thank you for Jesus, for you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was and is and who always will be. And so we bring our offerings and tithes here this morning to you with great joy in our hearts for all that you have done for us through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we say, in accordance with your word, thanks be to God for your indescribable gift, a gift too precious for words, too wonderful to tell. And so thank you, Lord, as we endeavor to proclaim your word in this community, in this region in which you have placed us, in this part of your world, let us be faithful to always proclaim the truth of your word in Jesus' name. And Lord, we confess our faith together to you through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you today? Good. It's good to see everybody here. Everybody back from Christmas and vacations, maybe. Wow. I want to know, did any of you get any new socks for Christmas? Ooh, some of you did. And what did you do with your old ones or your worn ones? The old ones. Some are too small, so maybe you give them away, or if they have holes in them, what do you do with them usually? Throw them away, right? Did you have some too? Some new socks or something like new shoes that you got for Christmas? Anybody get new shoes? Did you? And so what did you do with the old shoes? Maybe you handed them down to your little sister. Right? You could have done that, right? Yeah. Well, you know what? I had something old from 2021, and it's a calendar, and it is really used up. Look at this. Look at all my writing on there. Slashes, notes, markers. It is really, really written up. Let's show everybody that's sitting down. Every month there's even things written when there's not even a space. So this is really old. Can I use it in the new year? Can I use it now? No, because it's old and the dates won't even match, right? So I have to get a new one. Look at this. Haven't even written anything in January. Perfectly clean, right? It's new. Well, you know what, boys and girls? This is a new year. What year are we in?
2022.
We're, right, 2022, and it's the month January. You're right, and today is January 2nd, the second day of the new year. New is really exciting, isn't it? New is fun, but you know what, boys and girls? I think that God might want to do something new in us. It says here in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, and this is the New Living Translation. It says, I have already begun to do a new thing. Do you see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in a dry wasteland. Maybe, let's say in last year, maybe we were saying, you know, I did pray, I did trust God, but maybe I didn't really do it a lot. Maybe I didn't pray for my test at school, or maybe I just only remembered to pray when I ate or right before I went to bed. And maybe I really didn't believe everything that God said that He would help me in that really hard thing. Maybe I didn't do all of that. But guess what? We're in a new year. And God said here, I'm going to do something new. Do we want new? Would we like new with God too?
Yeah.
Well, you know what we have to do? All we have to do is ask Him. Ask the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. You just say like this, God, I want new with you. I want to be able to think about you all day, and I want to pray to you all day, and I thank you that you hear me. I thank you that you'll help me. You know, if we try to do this all by ourselves, can we do it? No, you're going to fail. If you think I'm just going to take this test or I'm just going to try and be nice to this person all by myself without ever asking God, we're not going to do it. We're going to fail. We might do it sometimes, right? But consistently, we won't. Who do we need to be our helper? God, we need Him to help us, and He helps us with through the Holy Spirit. He lives on the inside of us. So how about in 2022, we ask God, God, I want you to use me. Use me more than even last year. Use me in a new way. Maybe help me have the courage to talk to that one person in my class that doesn't know you. Maybe give me the courage, Holy Spirit, to invite them to church. You think we can do things like that? Help me to remember to pray, to ask you to help me to be the best student I can be, to be a really good listener. Whatever you like to do, to play sports better, to sing better, to play the piano better, to do what you want me to do. You know, God has a plan for every one of you, got you little ones and you bigger ones, and for all of us. And he wants us to ask him to help us to find that. Okay? So we want to be new in 22? Yes, we do. Okay, let's pray. Ready? Fold your hands. Close your eyes. Father, we just thank you that we are in a new year. And in a new year, we're excited about new things. We just ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us to remember to be putting you first in our days, to be thinking about you all day, not just as one time when we eat or one time when we go to bed. Those are very important times. But help us to ask you to help us to be everything you want us to be as children who love you in 2022. Give us the courage to speak about you to others. Give us the endurance to be able to pray longer. Give us the self-control to put down our games and our toys and pick up our Bible more. Help us to be new in these things in 2022. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Yes.
Thank you, Anne. We'll sing number 83. There's something about that name. We'll sing this through twice. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer. Thank you for his name that you have given us to use, and we proclaim it loudly. Lord, heaven and earth bows before that name. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but you, Jesus, your word, will never pass away. And so we look into it this morning. Thank you for all of life that you instruct us about from your word, how we live on this earth, when you're coming back, how it's going to be, what we should look for, and on, Lord, with excitement we look into your word, and so we do again today. And I ask, Father, as always, that you would speak through me by the Holy Spirit of God to those gathered here this day. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're in 1 Thessalonians today, chapter 4, verse 13. Before I start reading, let me just explain a little. If you looked at the title of the sermon, you probably got a hint of where we're going. But since we spent Advent on the second coming of Christ, which prompted quite a few questions, actually, from people in a good way about that, more about the rapture and all of that. And I just thought it just fits in now. We're sort of taking a step backwards, though, to the rapture of the church. I've had questions from people in our church that where people from other churches have said to them, well, the word rapture's not in the Bible. True, it's not. But the concept of it all is. One of my answers back has been, the word the Trinity is not in the Bible. And it's not. Do we deny the Trinity? No, we believe it because it clearly is spoken about beginning in Genesis. The concept of it is. So where does this come from? Yeah, I did something similar to this 6 years ago, but since I had so many questions, I thought this was the perfect time to go back into it. So take notes. You got the outline in your bulletin. If you miss a Sunday, because we'll be 3-4 Sundays on this, I'm guessing, then go back and listen. If you have friends that have questions, they can go online and listen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, that's us today, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Amen. That's where we'll stop today. So, getting into this here. The church at Thessalonica, okay, this was written just 20 years after the resurrection of Christ. So they're a very young church. It was mostly a Gentile church, meaning not Jewish, like us. And only 20 years after, the last couple Sundays of Advent, we were in 2 Peter, and I told you that was written just 30 years after the resurrection of Christ. And in both cases, false teachers were coming in. In this case, they were coming in telling them that the day of the Lord already had happened. They missed it. Jesus had already returned, and they missed it. How sad would that be? And so Paul, by the Holy Spirit of God, he's addressing that with these new Christians, brand new Christians. In chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, listen here, I'll show you what I'm talking about. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus, Paul says, our Lord Jesus Christ, and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy or report or letter that's supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. Now, I don't think anyone among us here this morning thinks that Jesus has already returned and we missed it. I hope you don't. In our day today, groups that say that has happened already are cult. They're cult groups, and there are some of them that do say that. So don't be misled, okay? Well, you'll know it. When it happens, you will know it. So in the first verse of where we started out in chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. Well, what's that? Hopefully we all know as well, that means people who have died, okay? Why am I going to spend a little time on this? Because every so often, if you talk to people, again, you get in sort of cultish groups, and they'll talk about this thing called soul sleep. You ever heard of that? When a person dies, well, you know, well, they really, maybe they think they were a believer. They really didn't go to heaven yet. They're just in this mode of soul sleep. That's a lie, okay? It is not true. So if you've heard that, don't follow it. I'll give you three examples of other scriptures talking about this phrase, people that have fallen asleep. One is when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He told the disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going there to wake him up. Now, the disciples didn't want Jesus to go back towards Jerusalem because they knew the Pharisees there were trying to kill him. So they're like, oh, we shouldn't go there. One of them even said, well, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, that's good. He'll get better. And Jesus says plainly to him in the 14th verse of John 11, he says, he's dead. He is dead. All right? That's one. Acts chapter 70. When Stephen is being stoned to death, what does it say there? Stephen falls on his knees and cries out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Could you do that if you're being stoned to death? Whew, that'd be tough. When he had said this, he fell asleep. In other words, he died. There's your other example. And then, First Thessalonians here, he says, don't be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep. Anyway, your loved ones who have died, even though they were living in Christ. Don't grieve. The rest of that verse says, don't grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We hear that verse often. I maybe have said it to different ones of you. As believers in Jesus Christ, Paul is saying, we don't have a dead-end grief, if you'd call it that. Our grief is not a dead-end grief if we know Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's not a final goodbye. There is grieving without a doubt. You lose a spouse, you lose your parents, you lose a child, a friend, whatever it might be, there is grief. But if we know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we know we're going to see him again. And that's what we rest in and we hope in. It's never a final goodbye. It's, I'll see you later, whenever that happens. And then he's going to go in to this event that we call the rapture. Verse 14. And the three points of it, which hopefully I'll get through today, he says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep. Okay, that's not the word rapture yet in there, all right? I'm going to jump ahead to verse 17, though. This is where you find it. After that, and I'll get to 15 and 16 when we go. We who are still alive and are left, and that if this event called the rapture would happen today, it's us. We who are still alive and are left will be caught up. That is the word right there. In the Greek, you have it. I have it in there, harpazo. I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, but it means to seize, to catch away, to pluck, to take by force. I mean, just that fast. Bam. Somebody here, I don't remember who it was just within the last week or two, on the way out of church, one of the little ones says, "I got a loose tooth, Pastor Mike." I said, "You want me to pluck that out of there real quick?" And the little one just looks at me, and the dad says, "Yeah, he's probably got a pliers in his office." I said, "Yeah, we could go do it." Well, would I want to do it? No, I wouldn't want to do it. I had a hard enough time to do that with my own daughter when she was... That's quite a story. I had to wrestle her down and everything, and boom! Wasn't pleasant, but she was happy when it was done. No, to snatch, to take by force, to be caught up instantly together with them. That is where the word rapture comes from, right there, okay? So if you got a friend that's questioning you, show them that verse for sure. Caught up together with them, we're going to talk about who the them is in a little bit, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That, and I touched on this through Advent, that is the difference between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ. Because, I want you to be able to know this and explain it to people. The second coming, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4, is when it says Jesus, when he comes the second coming, he's coming to Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is going to be split into from east to west. There'll be a great valley there, and on that goes. That's the second coming of Christ. The rapture of the church that we are waiting for now, any time, could be literally any day, any moment. In between that is the 7 years of tribulation. You do not want to be left behind. Okay? That's why we got to be ready for it. Jesus tells us about his second coming, and that be ready, be watchful, be ready. Okay, so in verse 14, so I'm going to listen to that. We believe that Jesus died, and that's your first point then going on here. These are what I call the three pillars of the rapture. I think 6 years ago I even had borrowed a three-legged stool from the Walk to Emmaus place. I didn't get ahead enough to borrow that. But if I had it here, you know, a one-legged stool. Now, I've heard some of you talk about way back in the day when you used to milk cows, and maybe you had a one-legged stool. Now, that stool, that leg had to be in the middle of that stool, right? You'd sit down on that thing, and then you balanced yourself. Okay, if that leg was on the edge and only one leg, that'd be a little tougher. If you only got two legs on the outside edge of that stool, a little easier to balance, but it works best when you have three legs. And it's solid, you can sit on it. If you're not being crazy, you shouldn't fall off of it, right? The first, he's to prove the rapture of the church, he's bringing these points to the church at Thessalonica and us. Number one, we believe that Jesus died. Any doubt about that here this morning? I would hope not. I would certainly hope not. We believe that Jesus died. Yeah, yes, we do. The next season will come into his Lent and Easter and all of that. He died to pay the penalty for our sins. Now that alone, at this point alone, we could spend a lot of time, but that's not where I'm going. We know Galatians 3:13 says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree," the cross. He took our place. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Second point, we believe that Jesus rose again. Any doubt on that? I hope not. We believe in the resurrection, his death, his resurrection. We confess it in the Apostles' Creed as we just did today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's so much involved in that, but one of the things it shows was Jesus' victory over death and hell and sin in the grave. It shows God's acceptance of his sacrifice on the cross in our place. He rose, he triumphed over death. So if we believe these first two truths, as he said, we believe that Jesus died, we believe that Jesus rose again. The rest of that verse, it says, and so we believe. It's like a bridge. If you think of it in that way, yes, we believe in his death. Yes, we believe in his resurrection. And so we believe, and he comes in to the rapture of the church in the rest of that verse. So we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep. In other words, those who have already died. Do you know, Abby, if you want to put that on there, that catechism question? That 57, look at this for a second here. It speaks of this in the answer, the question. How does the resurrection of the body comfort you? Answer. All right. Not only my soul will be taken. What's the word?
Amen.
Say it again.
Amen.
Okay. After this life to Christ, its head. That's one event. When we take our last breath, bam, if we know Jesus as Lord and Savior, our soul, I would say our spirit and soul, one together, immediately taken to Christ, it's head. There's no hanging around. You know, some false religions talk about that. I don't think Grandpa's gone quite yet. You know, I think he's still here. No, if he was a believer in Jesus, he is in heaven right now. So that's the first part. But the next phrase, read that with me. Okay, go. But even my very flesh, raised by the power of Christ, will be reunited with my soul and made like Christ's glorious body. That is a separate event. Because it will be reunited with my soul. All right? My spirit and soul in heaven. My flesh, where's that? Laid in the ground. Yeah? Right. In the casket, in the urn, whichever way it happens to be. Do you know that, maybe you all know this, maybe you don't, in the cemeteries, by and large anyway, any burial I've ever done, the body is always laid so that it is facing the east. Because that's where Jesus is coming from when he returns. The Bible tells us that. One of my first funerals here with Kevin, and he said, when we get there, you know, you can't tell in the casket really where the head or the feet are. I mean, by when it's shut, he whispers, you know where the head is, don't you? I said, yeah, right there. Just making sure you know. Thank you. It's always facing the east. I said, thank you. Just making sure you know. So, but look, even my very flesh, this is a second event, raised by the power of Christ. This is when he comes back to meet us, we meet him in the air. We'll be reunited with my soul and made like Christ's glorious body. All right? Go to the third point here. The revelation of Jesus himself. So number one, Jesus died. First leg of this three-legged stool. Yep, we got that. Number one, he rose again. Yep, got that, Pastor Mike. Third leg, that's where people just, maybe because it hasn't been taught, maybe because some say, well, it's not in the Bible. No, it is. It is in the Bible. That's what I'm showing you. Here's the third leg. The revelation of Jesus Christ himself, verse 15. According to the Lord's own word. Well, Jesus said it. That ought to settle it, right? According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, there it is again, that's us, we who are left until the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede, okay, that means go ahead of, we will not go ahead of those who have fallen asleep when this event happens, all right? Let me go on, verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel. Who's that? Michael is the archangel. Michael. Gabriel's the messenger angel. Yeah, Michael. With the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. This is going to be a global event. It is going to be loud. It is going to be sudden, that fast. It can be known around the world. We have the technology. We see that very plainly. We know instantly when things happen around the world, even countries that are so-called closed with all of our satellites. We see the buildup today of Russia along the Ukrainian border. We see the on the news, they show it. All the tanks, all the troops, all whatever's going to happen there. Even in North Korea, there's much we know about what happens in that country, even there, though they are one of the most closed countries in our world. We know it. And we will know this. Because what's going to happen? Let me say, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The remains, the dust to dust ashes that are in those coffins and all that are coming out. Wow, is that going to be supernatural? Yeah, that's going to be supernatural. They're coming out in a resurrected, glorified body to meet the Lord in the air. First, he said, the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 16, verse 17, back to that. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So, well, how long is all that going to take? About that long. That's how long. In the twinkling of an eye, Paul said in the first Corinthians, in a moment. That Greek word moment is the word that when the scientists discovered the atom, because they thought they had found the smallest particle there ever was at that time. They got that word atom from the Greek word A-T-O-M, or atom. From the Greek word there translated moment, in 1 Corinthians 15. Of course, then they've discovered there are smaller particles. And smaller particles. And what are those things called that you saw? Neutrons, or what are those? Caden, putting you on the spot. The one you looked at this summer in the mine. Neutrinos, thank you. Tinier stuff yet, sorry. Yeah, it's going to happen in a moment. So bam, bam, verse 17. To meet the Lord in the air. That is the rapture of the church. We see it in other places, which we'll look at. Let me try and wrap this up for today. Enoch, we spent all those months, the summer and through the fall, going through Hebrews chapter 11. All of those men and women of faith. Enoch, Hebrews 11:5, you know what it says about him? This is the first glimpse of the rapture. Already back then, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Bam, that fast. First example of it in the Old Testament. How about, 1 Corinthians 15, we'll get in on that in the Sundays to come. There it says, we'll not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. And he goes on there. Even John 14, a favorite chapter of ours, the night before the cross, when Jesus, ministering disciples, says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. For in my Father's house are many what? Yeah. If it were not so, I would have told you. And what? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself. I believe that phrase talking, yes, in one sense, about the rapture of the church. In another sense, yes, when we die and leave this body, he takes us home to heaven. So you see this. You see it all happen. And what does Jesus say? We looked at it in Matthew 24. Therefore, keep watch and be ready. Well, what? So it's going to happen. Maybe somebody's thinking, well, it's going to happen, Pastor Mike. It is. Yeah, believe it or not, it is going to happen. But I'd rather be ready for it and thinking about it and ordering my life according to knowing that this is going to happen, being like we looked at the five wise virgins who were ready when that bridegroom came versus the five foolish who just took enough oil for a short time and they weren't ready. And they were left out of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that gets into more the second coming, which is why we looked at it then. So be ready. I'll close with just a quick deal that I had seen in my notes from before, because it was probably fresh back then. But when Rachel was a senior, 2012, and that's when the band went to Washington, D.C. Maybe some of you guys were on that trip. So, and we were chaperones on the bus, long ride. Especially coming home when kids were getting stomach sick through the night. Ugh. Anyway, we get out there, we get to this college, whatever it was, I don't even remember, and we're to practice, and one of the younger ones, he was probably an eighth grader at that time, I'm not going to rat him out on his name. We get it all ready to go. He comes to me because I was responsible for this group of eight. Pastor Mike, I forgot my band instrument at Menno. You what? I said, you what? Are you sure it's not on the bus? It's not in the trailer. You forgot it? I know, I can't believe I forgot it. I am not ready. I go to tell Mrs. Wenish. You know, I was pretty calm and collected. Mrs. Wenish, not so much. Thankfully, that college, she went to the band director there and he loaned us a trombone for those days. Oh, sorry. That gives a little closer clue, but doggone it. He had his band instrument to play the rest of the week. I said, I thought you were ready. He says, I thought I was ready. He was not ready. Be ready. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that tells us about these events. And it's exciting to think about. And Lord, you said, encourage each other with these words. And it is encouraging as we know you, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. And just help us to be ready. Lord, you know us inside and out. And you know we all struggle in different ways. We all do. We are not perfect. Thank you for your blood that washes us and cleanses us from all of our sin. Let us live this new year of 2022 strong for you, strong in you and in the power of your might. And let us stand firm against the onslaught of the enemy, against the church throughout this world. Let us stand firm in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to sing number 774, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. I'll be there. Let's stand together. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the Lord is called upon the Lord. When the Lord That's why you got to know Jesus as Lord and Savior to sing that song. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. And now that we're in the new year, we're going to resume the God Bless America. We sing this as a prayer for our nation. We love our nation, and we pray for our nation. May be seated. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, Jennifer, for the music. Consistory, no, we just have a quick meeting back in the consistory room there.